So you got married.
Yes, and I remember also that time that I joined the office employees union, except they were called bookkeepers, stenographers, BSU, wasn't it? Bookkeepers and stenographers.
I've been trying to find out more about them.
Well, I tell you, they didn't amount to much. I just have no recollection of them. I just know that I joined them. And I don't think I stayed with them very long. I have no recollection. I know that I joined the union, but I have no recollection of them. My activity was with the IWW and the Young People's Socialist League, mostly with the IWW because my husband was an IWW, and I had come to meet a number of them. But I used to attend their meetings and their socials long before I met him, at least months before I met him. Because I had friends who used to go to the Wobbly socials and meetings, so I used to go along, and I became active only in the sense that I was a part of the audience.
Were there many women involved with the Wobblies in
Washington? Oh yes, there were quite a few women. It has always been a division of labor in the IWW, like in our working force, you know. The women did all the cooking and the serving and the washing of dishes, and the men did all the talking and the eating. And I know that in the IWW there was a young girl, I can't think of her first name, but her last name was Farr. And I think it was spelled Phar. I can't think of her first name, but she was the singer of the group. So she used to lead the Wobblies into songs, and she became quite an angel amongst the Wobblies. The Wobblies were not used to meeting respectable women, and to them, she was not just merely respectable, but something that was dropped out of heaven. They just worshipped her. And I can never forget that, because I always remember their attitude and how they felt about her. They wouldn't think of touching her. They would defile her if they touched her. It was that attitude. And that's a very old-fashioned attitude. Some men still have that attitude. Even some women have that attitude towards their own, towards themselves. Then there were so many changes, the IWW moved from one place to another. And that in Seattle was right off the Skid Row of Seattle. That's where all the lumberjacks used to come in when their jobs were over to spend a few weeks or a few days or a few months, depending on whether they could hold on to their money or not. So I used to meet a number of them at the hall. But I know that I was attending both the IWW activities and the Young People's Socialist League activities, and that's where my husband comes in. That is another story, which is rather long, and I'd rather tell it later.
How long did you live in Seattle then?
I lived until 1925. I was there during the 1920 general strike.
Did you ever hear that?
Well, you see, I was very young and naive, and a friend of mine took the story of my prison experience, and then she began to ask me about the general strike in Seattle, and I couldn't tell her much. I mean, I could tell her certain things that I had heard or that were discussed by the IWW, but I'm not sure how correct the IWW were, because that was only one opinion, and there were a number of different types of radicals and liberals who had joined in that strike and who had various reasons, some of them were diverse reasons, for having the strike, you know. So I'm not really equipped
to give you an intelligent
resume.
We'll try to support a little, and if I do try and find some material on it, that may help too. I'll try and have some material so I can ask specific questions. But and during that time, you think you were probably working though in there still?
I don't think I was working during the strike. You know. As I said, much of my work was temporary. You know, I wasn't very very good. You know, I wasn't a good stenographer. I was a good typist, but I wasn't a good stenographer, and I was having a gay time. So I don't know. I think I lived with some friends of mine, and I've lived with them a number of times over the years.
But your husband and you both lived with them then?
No. This was before my marriage.
No, after you were married, though.
And after we were separated, see. Because by 1925, what did I say? I was in Seattle in 1925. We were already separated.
I see. When did you become separated?
Oh, I think in 1923 or 24.
You didn't have children?
No, we had no children.
And then after you became separated, you went to live with these friends again?
Well, we became separated back east, actually, in Michigan. And then I went on to New York. And then I came back to Seattle in 1924, I think. I spent the summer of 1924 at Madison, Wisconsin University. Took a couple of courses, German and history. See, I was concerned about my history. And I took German because I'd heard so much of it, and I heard a Jewish spoken a great deal. I didn't know any Jewish. We were Spanish Jews.
Oh, that's right. In Romania, you wouldn't be part of
that. No. There are a lot of Polish Jews in Romania. In those eastern countries, they talk both Yiddish and Spanish. The Spanish Jews do not know any Yiddish, and the Yiddish Jews do not know any Spanish. And they both have contempt for one another. And this is really, this is very amusing. I didn't learn that until I came to Seattle, Washington, years after.
You went to Michigan with your husband. Was it for a particular reason that you went?
Yeah, well, that's a part of that long story.
Oh, okay.
So I had better leave it, because I'll start from the beginning with them and then go on to the end.
Okay, so then you went back to Seattle and you stayed there till about 1925.
Till about 1925. Well, I went east. I went back east to New York,
right.
I think in 23. I think in 22 or 23 I went to Butte, Montana, and I stayed there about 8 months or a year and worked for the IWW as a stenographer, bookkeeper, office worker. And from there, I went to Chicago and again worked for the IWW in Chicago. I was there a few months. And I was there during the first, when the quarrel within the IWW took place, that finally ended in a split. I was there during that period. Not in the split. The split took place later, but I was there.
You were at that convention?
Hmm?
You were at that convention in Chicago?
No, I wasn't. No. I was at a certain committee meeting, though, discussing this problem as a stenographer, taking notes. From there, I went to New York, and I was in New York. Gee, I don't remember. See, that was so long ago. And then there were other things happened since then, so that I'm not able to remember how long I was in New York at that time. In fact, you know, I think that I was in New York until... I don't know when I arrived there. I must have arrived there in 1923, because I left in 24, or I might have left in 25, and spent the summer in Wisconsin and returned to Seattle.
And then you stayed in Seattle just briefly?
Well, I didn't stay in Seattle long. I stayed there a year or 2 years.
And then you went where after that?
I went to San Francisco.
In about 1925?
I don't know. See, I mean, I a lot of things happened very closely together, so that I can't remember dates anymore.
That's okay.
Yeah.
And then in San Francisco.
But I know that I married again in 1928.
So you were divorced then?
I had divorced in the meantime, and then I married in 1928, and I married in Seattle.
Oh, you went up to Seattle and got married?
You know, I was down in San Francisco, came back to Seattle with my husband, or with my fiancé, and we married in San Francisco, in Seattle. And I know we went to Vancouver, B.C. for a weekend to celebrate the marriage. And well, I'll leave this for later. Then I'll be able to arrange my dates, you know,
okay,
more intelligently. More.
Now, when you were in San Francisco before you got married again, were you working there?
Yeah, I was working there. Yeah.
Was that for unions too?
Oh yes. Oh yeah. See, by that time I'd got used to it. No. I worked for Dun & Bradstreet. Believe it or not. I was there about a year, 8 months or a year. I don't think I was there very long. And I'm trying to think where I got my divorce. I don't know whether I got it in San Francisco or in Seattle. I really don't remember.
As we go into detail,
think back.
Start, yeah.
My memory has been bad, you know, and I'm not a person who forgets certain exciting things, you know. I'll remember them, but nevertheless I'm very, very forgetful. I'll read something and then I forget what I'd read.
Why
this is immediate. How can you study otherwise, you see? But this is going back so far that I would have to rearrange, you see, my dates. I know that from Seattle we came down to San Francisco, and we both got jobs, and from San Francisco we moved to Sausalito, and that was in 1928. That's the year we got married, and that's the year, that was it, you see. We went up to Seattle to get married from San Francisco and spent the weekend in Vancouver, B.C., and then when the time was up, we returned to San Francisco. He went back to his job, and I got another job. And I know that later we moved to Sausalito. But I really didn't start working for unions again until 1936. My husband died in 36, and it was after that I went to New York. I didn't start working for unions until 1938, and I've worked for unions ever since.
Now, was your husband involved in radical politics or not?
Well, he wasn't intellectual. He was amongst radicals all his life, you know, and he had a knowledge of it. And he didn't have any strong convictions because he never really expressed himself, but it was not new. He had no animosity towards it. His friends were radicals, and he liked them, and he accepted them.
What was his occupation?
He was a printer. He was a pressman.
When you moved to Sausalito then, did you work?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
In San Francisco?
In San Rafael. I worked in San Francisco and I worked in San Rafael. And that those were during the Depression years. They were very bad years.
And it was secretarial work always?
That was, well, it was office work. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I was the only one in the office, so I was a secretary. When I worked in San Rafael, actually, that was for the Department of Employment. And I was just a clerk. That was an experience. Because the girl who was in charge got sick and she didn't show up for 2 weeks. And I changed so many things in the office that she blew up when she returned.
So you lived in South Salido?
Yeah.
Until your husband died then?
Until my husband died. And then I was there a few months more and went to New York. That was in 1936. But that was another husband, you see.
That was Kettler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other was Emerson. It was Kettler.
And you didn't have any children by your second marriage?
No, I didn't. No.
And then you went to New York in 1936.
Yeah, to say it. It must have been 1937. I don't know. I was in New York a year and a half. And I returned in January 1938, so I did go to New York during 1936. You know, it's very hard to remember. I don't keep dates, and I don't have an accurate memory. And I have a general memory, but not an accurate one. I know I was in New York a year and a half, and I worked in a number of places. But the last place that I worked was for the Department of Employment when it changed from the state to the USES, United States Employment Service. And the manager, or whatever you call him, in charge of it, was very sad to hear that I was going back to San Francisco because I was the only one who had any experience with that type of work, you know.
they had to hire
a lot of new people, and I got the job. It just paid so poorly, it was terrible. They paid the minimum wage. I think it was, I don't know, $120 a month, or either $75 or $120 a month. And here I was, I had this experience. No matter where they put me, in whatever department, I was able to function. Because when I worked for the place in San Rafael, it was a very small office. There were only four of us working there. So you get to know the entire setup, the entire office structure, you know. I even placed people on jobs. I took interviews and so on. And I had a very funny experience there. It was during the SRA days. Do you know anything about the Depression years in 1930. The SRA preceded WPA, but the SRA also, when WPA was established, you had to be, not authorized, but you had to be made eligible by the SRA first as a person in need before you could be given a WPA job.
What did the initial stand for?
State Relief Administration, I think. That was a straight, it was just like the OAS here. It was much cruder than that. It was a very crude and very new. And I think it was the first time that statewide relief organization was established. And One of the experiences that I had in the Department of Employment office, you know, I had to certify some of these people for SRA. And one man came there, I don't remember just about how old he was, maybe 50 years old, and you asked him questions, name, address, age, what kind of work did you do, and how long have you been out of work, and do you have any money? And that's where he told the truth. He had $2,500, you know. At that time, I put my pen on the table. I said, oh, I'm sorry. He says, we can't do a thing for you. And he said, why not? I said, man, you've got $2,500 in the bank. He says, that's $2,500 more than anyone else who comes here looking for certification has. He says, but that's for a rainy day. I said, well, what do you think this situation is? This is a rainy day. He says, in fact, it couldn't be any wetter than it is. He says, I advise you to go and have a one grand time, and buy anything you ever wanted to buy, and after you've spent all your money, come back and we'll certify you. And this is so funny that I'd never forgotten it. He's holding the money for a rainy day.
So you returned to San Francisco then in 1938?
I returned to San Francisco in January 1938. And I stayed in Sausalito all of January and I think most of February, because they had the 40-day rains, you know, like the Bible story. You know, what was that, Noah's experience, a 40-day rain? It just simply couldn't go out, you know, it was muddy, and you just get wet, and by the time you got, I had to walk to the station to get a bus, or, yeah, buses were running at that time. And by that time, I'd be so muddy and wet, you know, that I'd want to return. So I just didn't get to the city until the rain stopped. And then I moved back to San Francisco. And I got whatever jobs there were through the union. See, when I was in New York, I joined the Office Employees Union again. And when I came to San Francisco, I transferred my membership from New York to San Francisco. And at that time, we were in the CIO. That's another experience with Harry Bridges.
Oh, well, you must have been in San Francisco during the general strike in 1934, weren't you?
No, I was in New York.
Oh.
No, wait a minute. 1934. Oh, no, in 1934, I was in Sausalito.
Do you recall the general
strike? Oh, yes, I do. For heaven's sakes, I worked for the Marine Cooks and Stewards.
Was it for the Bridges Union?
And it was not a Bridges Union. It was an AFL union. There were the Oilers. Oh, I can't remember. It'll come back to me.
So, well, then we can go into that San Francisco general strike, too, later.
Well, there was also a strike, you know. There was a strike in 34, that was the biggest strike, and then there was a strike in 36. And I started working, I worked for this union, I think in 39 or 40. You know, I worked for them after we entered in the war, I believe. And it must have been in 41, 42. You see, I worked for a number of unions in between. So, but I worked for this waterfront union, and I learned a great deal about the strikes, and I knew a great deal about them because I read about them in New York. New York was also on strike, you know. The 34, I was up in, still in Sausalito, I was still naive. But in 36, I don't know when the second strike took place. This is it's very difficult going back, and then the thing to do is to start with the year one and work your way up, and then remember all the things that happen each year.
Well, as we do,
and then you have a consecutive story.
As we do each period, it'll probably be easier because we'll be concentrating on a very specific period.
And even so, I've jumped. I jumped from
when we go back in the more detailed ones, we'll go in order.
But when I worked for this union, and I have to remember the name of this union, because we were shipping out young men. We were sending them to a training school, and where they would be trained for 2 or 3 months and then shipped out. But they had to have certain qualifications. First of all, they had to have an affidavit that they were not in the 1934 strike. I mean, that they were not sailing during 1934 and 1936. And these men would be sent to me to write a to interview them and to give them a card to the school or to the maritime school something. See, my memory is very poor. I can't remember. And I had a very interesting experience there because some of these boys would be Southerners, and they say, "I hope there are any goddamn niggers on those boats." And that's where I stopped. I said, "Brother, you're going to be awfully unhappy." He says, "Why?" I said, "Because there are niggers on those boats, and you're going to either take it or just get off the ships. You're not going to be happy on any ship." He says, "Those niggers are members of a union."